life has changed.
We want to be there for you.
Miguel, Holly, and Scotty are unscripted, uncouth, and still very mature. Now, Bailey.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Corncast Edition from Hot 101.5.
Made hot by Corona Beer.
What did you just say about me, Scott?
You're like a chihuahua. If you were a dog, you'd be a chihuahua.
How would I? Why?
Have you ever approached a chihuahua? And what was their reaction? They're probably like,
little
aggressive, like always a fireball, ready to fight. That's Miguel. He's always ready to just snap at you.
Am I?
Yes. Yes, you always ready. Sometimes you're cute and cuddly. He put you on your chest. He pet you. But other times, you want to bite a finger.
That's true.
That's you.
Yeah,
that's
you might true. Be right.
Have I always been that way?
No.
No?
No, no. You became more aggressive in later years.
This pandemic has put you real aggressive.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it is exactly. Because I had a few years in between where I was like sort of dealing with my own stuff. So I feel like I missed out on some of maybe your growth points.
Even though we were like coming into the same room,
It's every like when one loses or gains weight, and you see that person every day, and you don't notice it until suddenly, like you see a picture or something, and you're like, "Oh damn! Wait a minute! When did that happen?" So it's like when we moved here, and then I went into what I call the darkness of my divorce, and then post that, and it took me a good like 6 months or plus to kind of emerge from my own little world.
Mm-hmm.
You had been making moves and stuff during that time. I don't know. The only thing I was doing was surviving. So I don't know. And then like this past year, I was sort of in went back into my own reclusive bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you were doing during that time, I mean, you were doing, and I wasn't picking up as many vibes from you because I was inside my own place surviving. So when I emerge from these things, I'm always like, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, so you a little different. What happened to you? Well, I've been gone. And when I say gone, I mean mentally. I've been here physically present.
Just not all the here, all here mentally.
Not always here mentally, but I can still do what I need to do.
I feel like right now I'm going through this phase where because we have a little bit more time to just think and sit around and think about life and stuff, I'm thinking about how other people see me because I'm around people all the time. Where I used to spend a lot of time alone. I mean, growing up, especially middle school, high school, when I lived in Atlanta, and my school was an hour away from where I lived, but it took 3 hours on the school bus to get there, then 2 hours in the evening. And so from seventh grade until probably about halfway through my senior year, I would spend the weekends outside of going to church by myself. Like, I would be watching TV or reading, and I never hung out with anybody. I never did anything. It was all time by myself. And then when I get to college, my roommate never showed up. And so the next 2 years, the first 2 years of college, I never had a roommate. Mm. And then when I got to my four-year school, Corey, we went to high school together. So I knew her, but then she was like, had her own life that she'd already built those previous 2 years. And then when you and I lived together, Holly, you had just met your now ex-husband.
Yeah.
And so the first like year I was there before I really had any friends, like you'd be with him a lot of times, and Kramer, who we worked with and I went to college with, he was already with his now ex-wife. So I was just like, so I spent a lot of time by myself and just only professionally around a lot of people. But now we do this show every day. And because of social media, we are on all the time, and I'm around my boyfriend all the time. I'm around you, Scott, literally 98% of the day.
It's a lot.
It is. And so I've been thinking a lot about how people see me and how my moods affect other people. Because was it on the podcast or was it in? We talk so freaking much. I now don't even know what we talked about on the air, off the air. But you were saying how you like peek your head around the staircase at Chateau Oprah
podcast. Yeah, like I make sure. Like I have to. We were talking about it yesterday because sometimes I get in my mood where like. I like to picture as everyone's, I think, emotions. Like, we're like waves, you know? It's like sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. And when I'm up, I'm up. Like, I'm like singing, rapping, humming, dancing. And if I come up and I'm in a very energetic state, I know that in the later hours of the night, Miguel likes to have his time where he's just like, I know, like, him and Abe are going to just be chilling on the couch, watching a show, eating dinner, like something. And sometimes, you know, I respect that they might just want some peace and quiet. and I have to judge that based off of like my mood. I'm like, all right, well, if I pop up and I could tell by like their body language, are they gonna look at me when I walk up? And that kind of gives me the gauge of like, all right, do I let out all my energy right here, or do I try to hold it back, just get a glass of water and go downstairs and keep humming? But sometimes I'm like, I'm not going to show my true energy right now because
it's not going to be welcome.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's a lot for y'all to take in, and I want to respect your space. But other times it's like I feel the same energy back, so then I come up, do something stupid.
Would you describe me now as, because I'm really curious about this whole Chihuahua thing. Like, would you say that that would be characterized, or would you use the word bitch or aggressive or assertive or all bark and no bite?
No. There's definitely a bite now, which is good. Like, I don't even think it's a bad thing. I think it's honestly a good thing as long as you channel it in the right way. Like, I don't know if bitch would be the right word. Like, you ain't a bitch, but like...
Save that.
He said, you ain't a bitch.
We just turned into that show. You ain't a bitch, but
I guess you can have like moments of like being aggressive, which is
snappy.
Snappy, and that's why I think the Chihuahua was good, because like Chihuahuas, like they are very cute dog, like, and friendly,
and a lot of people like them.
And yeah, exactly. But you get on a Chihuahua's bad side, it's going to be aggressive real quick. It doesn't give a damn what it's talking about. Mm-hmm. It's going to snap at you.
And you know what else? They're a little bit aloof. And I think Miguel can sometimes be a little bit aloof. Like,
just like
doesn't want to be bothered.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, think about any Chihuahua you've ever come in contact with, if you have, where it's like, they can be so cute, and they just
want
to sit on your lap and be sweet. But then if you're like, I
want
to cuddle on you, and they're like, no. No.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think as long as you take those moments of snappiness and keep pushing it to do whatever you're snapping about, then it's a productive snap.
Do you feel like I shot it been snapping, honey? Do you feel like I snap at you, Scott?
No. No, you don't snap at me, which is good, because I don't respond good to being snapped at.
Oh.
I know, because again, like, okay, now that we're about to, no, we're going to take a little detour really quick. If I get snapped at and you don't give me, like, okay, first off, don't snap at me.
Oh, he said first off.
No, because I won't respond well. And the fact of, like, you have to give me a clear direction of why it isn't working. Like, what is the original thing you snapped at me for? Like, if you were like, Scott, this audio's wrong, I'd be like, bleep you.
Oh, go ahead. Like, say it.
No, I don't feel like.
No, go ahead.
No. But like the point is, instead you could be like, all right, like, this isn't what I was picturing. Let's get on the same page, because you had a vision, I had a vision. Let's come together and let's have a clear ending at the end and like help me get there.
Right.
But I've had people before, especially when I started here, that were like, this is wrong. And I'm like, great. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but you have to give me the pathway so right. I can succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I don't like people that are just snappy without an explanation. You have to help somebody get there, provide what you want, and help them get there.
I think that's one of the hardest parts about being your age in a professional career, because I remember that was so frustrating when I started in radio, is because radio people, we all wear so many hats, and like, what we do never stops.
Yeah.
Like, if you work in a restaurant, like, when you close at 10, like, you can, granted, you're always thinking about your business in your restaurant, but, like, you're not serving french fries unless you're Waffle House 24/7.
Right.
Like, you're done. You can take a minute. But, like, what we do never stops. And let's say, like, this past, before the pandemic started, our ratings were really, 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 really great. And my mom was like, oh, my gosh, I'm so proud of you. Like, you all reached where you wanted to reach. And I've been in this industry for so long. I was like, oh, yeah, that's great. So we're working on this thing coming up. And she was like, wait, aren't you going to give yourself a moment to, like, celebrate?
It's not really, you don't really do that in radio.
No, you can't.
The next day is a whole new, everything could tank.
Literally, as we, right before we started this podcast, I was like, hold on, okay, so tomorrow morning at 7:10, we're going to do this. At 7, like, I'm already on to the next day. Like, that's why I always joke that, so, like, right now we record this, it's Thursday, May 7th. When we finish doing our show, to me, it's already the next day. Like, to me, in my mind, it's already Friday.
Hey!
Like, I'm done. Like, anything that happens after noon, unless it's like something real great, we're getting money or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I've already moved on to the next day. So we're Friday now, pretty much, you know?
Right.
Because we don't ever give ourselves that time to just stop. But with that, we always in radio and in industry, you throw out these terms. And so if we're talking about ratings, we're like, well, Holly, did you see the Cume? It matched the TSL for the spring and it was so great. Mm. But we were really looking at the PUM to see like what's the best, you know.
Yeah.
And you're like, huh? And no one ever takes the time to stop.
No.
They just assume you just know. And so that's why I feel like hopefully with you, we have taken those moments to stop and explain, well, this is why you shouldn't do that, or this is why you should do that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's not all, it doesn't always happen because we work in such a fast-paced environment.
Yeah, I've talked to other people that have worked for other people and, like, in, I guess, locally, and they've talked about just how really lucky I am to be in this environment with y'all. And again, like, I know it and I see it and I'm very thankful for it because I don't think I would have been able to learn as quickly and as efficiently as with somebody else.
Right.
Because they would have just been like, here, do this.
That's how so many people are.
And then they would have been upset and we would have been on the same page. Like, the one thing great here is like, okay, yeah, I don't do everything right. Duh. But when I do something that's not to the vision, at least it's like a walkthrough step of like, well, this is what I'm seeing, but your idea is not bad. Like, it's actually good. I like where you're going with it. Or let's branch off and let's clear the path to actually have something done right.
And I think the reason for that is there's a couple things. Number one, there's a lot of ego in this business. And so that is huge where it's like, I'm not going to bother to tell you, but you better know. What?
Like,
what?
That makes sense.
No damn sense.
That makes me so mad.
I know. So that, there's ego. Then there's also this weird perception of like, you have to have done it the same way that the old timers did and put in your work. And if you didn't do overnights and market zero for 5 years and mop the floors too, then you don't deserve to be on there. Like, that whole thing is kind of finally recycling out, thankfully, but it's still present often. And then finally, we're workaholics in this business. And it's not that we all were maybe born workaholics, but the way this industry works, it almost forces you to be, especially now with social media. It's like, you have some extra time? Oh, good. Well, you can actually start working on this new thing that we want to do for TikTok for the station.
Right.
It's like there's no rest at all because there's always going to be somebody better doing something bigger. And these young people are going to come up and take everybody's jobs. And so it's like this industry breeds workaholics and it's not healthy for us. And it's like nobody gets paid anything because there's no money in the business. But the only people that are here love it so much, they're willing to take the abuse. It's real effed up.
Ooh, yeah.
If you think
that's
about it.
Because
it is. Because it's like, especially, like, we're a morning show, so that's a little bit different because the pay scale is a little bit different, and we're trying to get Scotty on board full time.
One day.
But there's a lot of just what I would call personality jocks across the nation who just get shit on because they're not getting paid peanuts. They're being expected to cover not only, you know, like Miguel said, wear a bunch of hats. So their shift, their show, maybe multiple markets, voice tracking, maybe they're doing promotions. Maybe they're also doing this and that, and they're all getting paid nothing because the higher ups have drilled into our heads for so long that we're replaceable.
Right.
You make one wrong move and you're out, and somebody who's hungry will come up and do it for even less money than we're paying you. And that's just the hard truth. And I'm lucky, we are lucky that, like I said, there's been like a slow, very slow movement of trying to get away from that lifestyle in this industry, but it's not happening very fast. It's just taking time.
What would you do, Scott, if management came to you and said, hey, by the way, this is not true, what's about to come out of my mouth right now. Miguel and Holly make too much money. Not true. I just wanted to put that out there. But if we're putting it on the what if bubble, if we made that much money and they were like, all right, so we're going to get rid of them and we're going to move you up and it's going to be Scotty T in the morning, what would you do?
That's it. Again, this is a very, very broad question because there's a bunch of different branches to it. I wouldn't just step into a role of, again, my vision, my goal, my dream is to have a show, a well-functioning show with actual time to do stuff. So if they're like, hey, Scott, bye Miguel and Holly, you have the morning, but you're not going to really be able to do like actual topic and stuff. You're going to be really short time break. And I wasn't able to like have like people around me. No, because then I feel like that's a weird step back in a way. Like, I actually want to be able to entertain. Like, my dream is to entertain. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to entertain within, you know, 8 seconds. So I would not take that. But it just, there's, it's too, no, I wouldn't be able to just say, hey, Scott, in the morning, go. I'd be like, okay,
well,
you're not, again, it's one of those things where it's like, you're not like helping me be successful. You're actually going to make it less successful by throwing me into a situation and taking all resources away.
I feel like that's really noble. That's probably the wrong answer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you like, should do it. You, I mean, you should, I, if that ever to, happens, just do that.
It's just, it would be like a setup for failure almost.
Yes, that's what radio likes to do.
But
you could make the most of it.
Right. And here is an important lesson that we're going to teach you here.
Oh,
right.
It's a lesson time.
This okay. is. This is like, everyone gather around. It's time for a lesson with Auntie Miguel and Auntie Holly.
The two aunties.
That's the name of our show. When we get to the Dove, it's going to be called The Two Aunties in the Morning on 105.5 WDUV The Dove.
It'll turn the Dove on its ear, though, because there's a gay black man on now. Woo!
Girl, believe me, I'll still be going out to Ybor. Don't think for a second.
Well, at that time, the demo for the Dove will be people our age who did that, too.
Okay, just hold on before we're going down like a whole nother tangent.
And I want to take back my answer.
I know, right? Hold on. No, we'll tell you why you're wrong. No, you're not wrong. But let me tell you what our experience.
No.
We will tell you why our experience has told us that there is another way for that answer. But first, Julie Chen, Big Brother. Can you imagine, Holly, when we're in our like 60s and if I live long enough to make it on the Dove, you'll be there.
Yeah.
And we're playing like Justin Bieber Intentions on the Dove.
I know that's what's going to happen.
That is so weird
but
to think of.
But it's so weird.
But like Justin Bieber's coming through with like, I don't know, The Weeknd, and they're doing a show at like the Mahaffey.
Yes.
Like they can't do like Amelie Arena Ray J.
No.
They're at the Mahaffey, and we're like on stage, and we're just like, hey guys, it's Miguel and Holly, your two aunties.
Oh my God. Like it's so, I feel like a weird out of body experience right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why I know it is going to happen? Because I feel that same weird out of body experience when like we play the throwbacks now and it's songs from high school.
Yep.
And I'm like, I actually used to get legit excited for this when it first came out.
Oh yeah.
In 2000.
I mean, I remember, especially on Throwback Thursdays, some of the songs. I remember driving my grandmother's car when I was a senior in high school and being like, God, I wish I could be a radio DJ right now and play this song. And now we're doing it.
So that's going to be a weird life pattern. But get back to the other thing.
So life lesson. So one of the things that Holly and I said to each other early on in our career was, if an opportunity that is life-changing ever comes about, you cannot turn it down. So for instance, like, we're attached at the hip. We've worked together now since 2008.
Long time.
And we make no bones about it with the name of our show, Miguel and, it was the Miguel Show, then it was Miguel and Holly. We make the same amount of money, whereas traditionally that does not happen. Nope. On a show like this, or when we first were negotiating, they offered me more money than Holly.
Right.
But we're very transparent with each other, and we said, no, we need to make the same amount of money.
Because we've been down that road before, and it's not a fun road.
It is not. But I've always told Holly, if Elvis Duran or Bobby Bones or Ryan Seacrest in L.A., they're like, hey, Holly, we really love your talent and we want you to go, you best motherfucking believe you better go. I would be pissed if Holly was offered a job like that and didn't go. So what I'm trying to say is, if let's say we were let go and they wanted you to do it, and even though we lived together and I'd make you feel guilty every day you walked in the door.
Oh, come on.
No, I wouldn't. Just a little bit. Just the first week or so.
Okay.
Take opportunity and then make it your own. When you are presented with an opportunity, 9 times out of 10, it's never what you think it's going
to
be when you get there.
That's a good way to put it.
So even if they offered you this job, and let's just, because this would never happen, but they were like, hey, we're going to offer you Scotty T in the morning, and you only have to play 5 songs in the morning, and you get to talk for 8 minutes at a time. That's never going to happen.
Oh, that sounds nice.
That will never, ever happen. It will not. But you can take those 8 seconds that you do and then you build on that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then you build on it. So you can never say no to an opportunity, sort of like, and we're always transparent with this opportunity here at this radio station. They were like, so you're going to talk for 2 minutes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to pay you a whole lot, but here's an opportunity.
Yeah,
that's true.
And we were like, well, I mean, this is the city we want to live in, so let's go.
Might as well.
That's so interesting. Actually, this is an interesting thought process now because, like, who knows? I didn't even know I was going to have this job a couple years ago. But now that I'm thinking, like, I would love to honestly stay here in Tampa Bay. Like, if that's where my career, like, I can see it now. Now I'm just having a little vision process in my head.
That's called the what if bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, my little what if bubble is like, if I took over the ship one day, like, that'd be cool.
So Holly and I, they boot scoot us over to...
talking about going to the Dove, but yeah, then it's like, I think if the company was ever listening to a podcast, here's the part that they could take out. It would be such an easy segue for, you know, to have somebody that's been on the morning show to slowly
Wait, hold on. Let's do... So pretend like we had Tim Clark from corporate on last week. So pretend like I'm Tim Clark.
Okay.
And they've just announced that, let's see here, that Danielle at our sister station, Magic 94.9, she started her own business because her husband does his own business. And let's say they're going to go do something together. And she's like, you know what? I don't want to wake up early anymore. I'm good. I'm going to retire from radio to go do my own thing. Miguel and Holly, you're going over to Magic 94.9 to do the morning show there. And you don't want to go, and you want to do your own thing.
Well, it's not even that he doesn't want to go. There's no room.
No, there is room.
Oh.
But you want to stay.
Oh.
And they're like, well, we want to hire fresh blood for Hot 101.5. Give me your elevator pitch to Tim Clark to do your own show one day.
Tampa Bay is all about family. People grow up here. People are connected here. And honestly, the best thing in the morning is to feel like you're listening to people that are part of your family. Why not have a radio station with people that have been there from the very beginning? Scotty T in the Morning has been there from the very start with Miguel and Holly and now could take you all the way through the next couple years to make sure that you're not missing that part of family that you've always craved every time you're going to work or school. It's only natural for Tampa Bay to have what it knows best, and that's family.
Holly.
I like it.
If you were Tim Clark, would you go, hire him? Give him $200,000 a year.
I'd be like, you know, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Let me think about that.
If we shake up the box right now, it's only going to hurt.
Here's why. Okay, so here's the tip that I have on that.
I'm excited. Oh. Like, it's going to happen. Okay.
So that is great. That's a great emotional pull. Then you hit them with the 1-2, and you're like, not to mention, who are you going to bring in here for? Because you know people are going to want a lot of money. And I don't need that much money, but I just need more than I'm getting. But then you're going to have to pull in all these people, train them. I already know what's going on. Like, then you sell it on the money aspect.
Yeah. I grew up here, went to USF.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend's family lives here. Like,
you don't have to pay moving fees for someone.
You're not going to have to restart a show here. I already have it. Not to mention, look who I endorse already.
Right.
Advertisers love me.
Right.
Let's take this out and let's send it up. Oh. I like this.
Wait, hold on. We're not trying to leave yet, bitch.
I'm not going to the Dove yet.
I'm not saying yet, but just so they have it in a folder for future reference.
In a folder.
Just
they're ever thinking. I really do. I've never pictured myself because I actually have these future conversations all the time with my family and my girlfriend. I'm like, what is, like, I don't know. I didn't even picture doing radio in Tampa Bay, but I would love to because my family's from Florida and I could actually have this work. And if I could stay here, then that would just make so much sense. Mm.
Do you ever, and you can be completely honest, because I can say that before I ask you this question, I answered yes to this question in the past. Mm-hmm. When I was in your position, when Holly and I worked with Kramer, and it was that guy Kramer in the morning, and Holly, it was Kramer and Holly, and then I was in your position, the sidekick producer, there were times where I felt very resentful of Kramer because I would look at what he was doing and think to myself, oh, I can do that too, or there are some things that I may be able to do better. Or there were things that I'd be like, oh, God, I have to work through that and figure out how to do that because he's so good at that. Are there ever any times that you're resentful for not doing it yet? Because also, our situation was a little bit different because him and I are the same age. We went to college together. And so we left. He was just 1 year older than I am.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the difference there. Because I don't know, like, maybe even slightly resentful, but it's not to be resentful because we're not in the same position. It's not like we went up through this together and you got, like, if that was the case, absolutely. Because then I would constantly compare myself to you and I'd say, I'm better and I could be better. But right now, even like literally today during the show, I constantly have these thoughts of like, could I be doing this right now? And I think the answer would be yes. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it would just, there's so many things I'm learning on a day-to-day basis, even like how everything functions, that I wouldn't want to jump to that yet before I could learn everything I possibly can to know I'm ready. Like, and that could be any day, but I'm not really resentful as much as I'm like jealous of like, ah, that must be a really cool freaking feeling to have like your own show. And like, and one day it's going to happen. And that's what I'm just preparing for. And I'm excited for that. But I don't know if resentful would be the right word because, like, again, like, we're not in the same boat. I'm in, like, the boat next door.
What scares you the most about being in the positions that we're in?
Scares me the most. I think I could jump into it and do all right, and I'm not scared to fail with it. It's that I would just want to make sure, like who's going to be, like, my sidekick, my co-host, and who's going to be my team, and how can I make everything go together well, and the way you put together a show, and I'm paying attention more to this now, like the way you do it, like I think on my day to day, because now especially in quarantine, I'm like, I'm not doing crap. How am I gonna make like things come to life when my life is not even happening? And so how you come up with topics and content and stuff like that, that right now, until I do it, that's gonna be probably the scariest thing. And I know it will come when I'm in the position to do it. And
because you'll
like,
have to.
Yeah, like your back's against the wall, you better come up with something. I know, and that's the thing I'm starting to transition my thoughts to. It's like, I know I can't do it. Don't take yourself out of the game before, you know, you've been in the position. So I know I could do it. I just haven't done it yet. So that's the part that I'm like, holy crap, every day coming up with a full show, a full rundown, making sure things are trendy and topical and actually sound good. Ooh, that sounds crazy. But I think I'll get there.
Holly, if I died, would you want to, like, do it, or have you ever had aspirations to host a show? Because there are some people, I've seen this online a couple of times when people have said, you know, the people that don't like me, and I'm like, that's cool. Not everyone's going to like me. That's fine. I've gotten over that.
Those people are few and far between, by the way.
I've gotten over that a long time ago. But of course, like, my perfectionist, whenever I do see it, there's that little tinge of like, what can I do to make you like me?
And yeah. You can't. Love me.
Girl, yeah. I'm gonna listen to that when I leave here today. But have you ever wanted to host?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Not really. I never came into morning radio with a desire to host my own show. And other people have brought it up to me too. Like when we were out of work, they're like, why don't you go do your own thing or whatever? And I'll be like, Yeah, I think that I could. Mm-hmm. I do think I have the talent and the ability, but do I want to in this capacity?
Right.
I'd really have to think about it because I have put no thought into what a show would look like led solely by me.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly don't know. I'd have to really put more thought into it than being able to have time to answer it right now.
Yeah.
So I guess to sum up, I think I could do it, and I think I could find a lot of joy in it, mm-hmm. but I'm also not sure that that's my path.
Right.
I don't, and maybe that's weird to some people. They're like, well, isn't that the succession? You're like, you know, you just move on up to the next thing. Well, that's what a lot of people thought when I was doing middays and the promotion director job in Ohio, and then they fired my boss. And my big boss came to me and was like, we're going to make you the PD of this new station that's popping up. And, like, of course, I had other tactical moves going on because I knew I was applying for morning show jobs elsewhere. So I didn't say anything at the time because, of course, you play the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh, that's awesome. Thank you. But ain't nobody asked me if I want to be a PD because I would have said no.
Mm.
I never wanted to be a PD. But I know a lot of radio people go through the ranks to want to get to program director.
Right.
I do not want to be a program director. I know that immediately off the cuff. So that's the same type of thing, although I don't know for sure that I'd want to host my own show or not, but it's never been like a goal of mine. I've never put that on a vision board.
Is there any dream that you have had in the past that you feel like it's too late for you to get to, or like you've missed your moment for it?
That's a big question. That's a big question.
When I was younger, I wanted to be famous. I really did. And that has changed for a couple of different reasons. Namely, being famous nowadays is not the same as what I thought it would be when I was younger. I wanted to be famous. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to be famous when I was in college. I knew I had some type of talent to give to the world, and I should be known for something. And then I thought one time when I was, like, doing my midday shift, and I saw this ad for MTV VJs, remember?
Oh, my gosh, I wanted to be a VJ.
And they said there was an age cap of 24, or you had to look like you were 24. And I was 23, and I was like, damn it, I'm missing my chance to be a VJ. stupid. So I feel like my chance at being famous has sort of gone by the wayside, but I'm not mad about it because I don't want that anymore.
No.
I don't want that, like, universal fame. I have seen what it's like now being in this business and even on this side of it. Like, I see what celebrities go through. I see what, you know, we go through on a very minimal scale, and I don't want that.
So if Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest died in the plane crash.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, we want to get a radio duo to replace them. Would you want to do that?
I mean, maybe.
That would be.
Girl, if they say we're going to pay you $10 million.
I'm not going to say no to that. but that's not like me searching out like ways to be. Like, if some crazy, you know, shenanigans like that happen and some shit falls in our lap, then yes, okay, I'm gonna go be Kelly Ripa. I mean, I can get it done.
Whatever.
I can do it.
But I think the problem with me in this whole thing is that, and we just found out about it this year, since I started therapy, is I didn't know who I was for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of hampered my my goals and dreams and aspirations because, like, when you're a college kid and you don't know what you want to do, that's okay because most people are still figuring things out. But I was lucky that I ended up in this job because I love this job. And it's not like I didn't. I've realized that this type of thing is my passion.
Mm-hmm.
Helping people, being a voice for a community, like those things, you know, that's who I am. But it took doing this job to find that.
Mm. Right.
And then honing it has been a whole different thing. But when I was younger, I didn't know who I was. I just wanted to be liked.
Mm.
And that's where the famous thing came from.
Right.
I just wanted people to like me. And I just wanted people, because that to me was successful. And I think that goes all the way back to childhood and the relationship with my mom. And if I was making her happy, then I was valued. So I just want to make people happy. And then I would have a lot of value. If I could make people laugh, if I can cheer people up, that's where I get my value. And so aside from that, I had no idea what I like. Come to find out, I really enjoy psychology and learning about why I am the way that I am that way, why you are the way that you are. I'm fascinated by why people are how they are and how they got that way. So that probably could have been my major. I probably would have excelled in it, but I didn't know enough about me then to even know that. So that's where I feel like my deficiency pops in.
Do you feel like you still seek that validation from people?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. It's a really hard thing to shake, though. Like, I can see it now. Like, I see when that happened. I can see it when it is happening most of the time. Sometimes it's so deeply embedded that I don't even realize I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a hard habit to break because it's like, I don't know what the name of it is, or I don't know what the phrase of what it's called, but when you base your self-worth and when you grow up in a certain way and you think, like, it's like a survival skill.
Right.
So those don't just fall by the wayside when you don't need them anymore, even if it's to your detriment.
Right.
So your, you know, childhood learned default was to say, I'm valued and I'm needed when I'm helpful.
Mm.
And if I can pick up on, the reason I think I even am an empath is because I had to be, like, I had to train myself to understand. And again, please know I'm not, like, saying my mom is a bad person. She didn't know either. I'm now also trying to psychoanalyze my mom because it's helpful to me and my healing. So she absolutely did the best she could. And she was a wonderful mother for a young child. But because of her past trauma, she mothered in a certain way, And it just so happened that it caused me to react in a certain way. Cause and reaction, right? Action and reaction. So when I say, like, okay, well, I had to learn how to read people because my whole goal in life, just because of my basic biology, if my mom yelled at me and got mad, immediately I'm taking notes. Okay, well, don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So then when I see her physically start to do one thing, I can autocorrect and, like, do another. And it's really helpful to have those type of skills. But unfortunately for me, it, like, took over the rest of my life. And then I never realized it was damaging to me.
So how do you work towards not letting it seep into the crevices of your life?
It's constant self-checking. It's constant self-checking. But how do you exhausting. Self?
So if I'm in a mood, and you normally would be like, "Is it me? Did I do something?" So now, do you just say to yourself, "Well, that's just Miguel in his own head. I have done nothing today to do anything that would warrant that."
No, it's a lot. It's not as bold as that. Mm. So that's a good example because I can read people that I'm really close to the best because I need time to, like, pick up your facial expression. I'm like a freaking alien. Like, I can I can absorb what energy you're giving out, and I can pick up nuances in your speech and your eyes and everything. So it's crazy training that I've had. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's say I walk in one day and I'm already in a little bit of, like, a tiny bit of an off mood. Maybe it's my period. Who knows what? And I see and I pick up that you're irritated or flustered or something. My very first reaction is, something is wrong. I did something wrong.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. He hates me. Oh, God. And I allow myself to go down that path for approximately 2 seconds. And then I'm like, no, wait a minute. Wait. It's probably not you. It might be. So I keep that on the table as like a possibility. But now the table opens up to, what is going on at work? Is there something that our boss said? Did we get an email? Is it something work-related? That goes on the table. Did him and Abe have a fight? Is something happening with him and Abe? And is he on his phone feverishly texting? Because that's probably an Abe thing.
Right.
Or is it a Scott/Dylan roommate drama? Is it that? I forget to think of this a lot of the time. So I, like, because it's my job in my own head to come up with all the possibilities. Like,
why I could be mad.
It could be his grandmother and his mother's situation up in Atlanta. So I would say more often than not now, I will lay out all those options to myself and say, it's not just you, and it's also not your responsibility to fix it. That's the big thing. And then I would say, instead of being like stressing about it all show, giving myself a stomach ache, oh my God, he hates me, I'll be like, what's going on? Something's going on. And you'll tell me because you know and I know we have the thing. But it's really hard. It's like every decision, every reaction almost needs to be second guessed because my default is this is my fault and or even if it's not, I got to fix it so that we can preserve the peace and I can be comfortable. Because I'm uncomfortable when other people are in distress. And I need to learn how to be okay with that because that's not my energy that I need to take.
Now that you've recognized that, do you see, like, is it exhausting to go through that?
It's so exhausting.
No.
You have to think everything three different ways. It's so much work, but it's healthier and it saves me from going on a roller coaster daily of emotions. Like, that's exhausting too, when you're constantly thinking what you did to make somebody else react that way. Mm-hmm. And it was last summer when my brother said something just that really hurt me. And he wasn't trying to be malicious. In fact, we were both drunk and he was just kind of like, it was an off the cuff remark, but it really hurt my feelings. And when I talked about it with my therapist, she was like, well, remember that judgments are needs. And so it wasn't even about me. And that was a huge game changer because I will get hurt a lot of times because I'm so sensitive and I'm so emotional. So a lot of times when people have opinions or judgments or they project their thing onto me, I will absorb all of it and berate myself for days. And that's tough. But what she said was, so your brother, he said this thing to hurt you, that hurt you. But he's saying it because the situation that's going on with you, it's scary to him.
Mm.
And the way he's dealing with it is by saying, well, you wouldn't catch me in a situation like that. That's, nope, that's where I build my little fence around, and I'm not putting that in my yard.
Right.
Although I am fine with it.
Mm.
But it hurt me because I thought he was saying, like, I'm an idiot. No, it's not that I'm an idiot. He just, in his own head, that's something that he can't handle.
Right.
So it's not even about me. It's about other people's insecurities, traumas. And I'm it, like, it's once you open that world of why people do what they do and you stop taking it personally, that's when it starts to just blow your fucking mind a little bit. Because I realized I had this, wait, I feel like I'm talking a lot, but let me just get this out.
No, no, please.
I had this revelation. Sometimes these revelations happen after I've had enhancing things.
Yeah.
Oh.
What?
Beverages?
What do you?
Drinks?
No, what?
Other,
oh.
other
you mean,
items?
Wait, are you clicking the other box?
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. It's fine. It's medical.
Oh.
It's medical.
All right.
So this came to me because my brain is like super expanded during those times, and mm-hmm. this slammed into my head about a week ago. So and I notice it now because when my daughter will watch TV, like if the girls are dressed kind of scantily, my mom has huge issues with it. And it reminded me of when I was younger and I was kept in a bubble. Like she was very... you know, she sheltered me hardcore. And that's fine. I mean, I had a fine childhood because of that. I wasn't, you know, scarred by anything. She kept me very protected. And sometimes I would get mad because she would always have an opinion on everything. And everything was always like, ugh, don't ever dress like that or whatever. You know what I mean? Or look mm-hmm. at that girl. Someone needs to tell her that she shouldn't be having her boobs out. And like that woman's mother let her down by not telling her. And I'm telling you, you better cover it up. Or whatever. She always used to say, don't advertise what's not for sale.
Yes.
So that. I grew up that way. So when we watch stuff, like I let my daughter watch this movie called Descendants when, I'll be honest, like some of the girls in there, they look like straight up whores. And they're supposed to be in high school.
Oh.
It's like a cute movie. And the songs are great. So I'm like, and all the other girls Maya's age are watching it. So I'm like, whatever. It's on Disney, for God's sake.
Right.
Times have changed.
Welcome to it. My mom gets pissed when I let her watch this stuff.
Mm.
So between that, and that's another thing, when my mom like basically tries to parent me into parenting her, right? That's like, you know, Inception shit. But I was outside and I'm like thinking to myself, wait. I finally put that fucking piece of my life together because my mom had a horrible relationship with her mother. My grandmother, and I never knew this part of my grandmother. My grandmother to me was kooky, wacky, a little bit off the wall, fun loving lady who right. had bright red hair until she died. Nana was great. Not to my mom, she wasn't.
Mm.
She was an abusive mother, like physically abusive and some other things. And she would really come down hard on my mom for some reason because she was the middle child. So you got middle child syndrome anyway. They wanted a boy for the middle child. They didn't. And then they had her brother and like everybody ignored her. Classic middle child stuff. But then the abuse got so bad that when my mom was 18, she wanted to move out of the house and get her own apartment. Well, my grandmother, who now we probably think had some kind of mental illness of sorts, told everybody else in the extended family that the reason that my mom wanted to move out of the house was that so she could sleep with everybody because she was a whore.
Oh my God.
And I've heard that story multiple times, and sometimes we laugh about it and sometimes we shake our head about it because my mom has never dealt with it ever until I made her get a psychologist lately.
Oh.
So she's digging all this stuff out.
Oh.
So, and it's just because she's like keeps going over these stories and then it just like slammed into me and I'm like, that's why she never let me have any sort of provocative outfit.
Mm-hmm.
She never let me watch anything PG. She never let me listen to Madonna. I was so sexually sheltered, which is a weird thing to say about a kid, but whatever. Because she had so much trauma from her own mother calling her a whore, and she just was trying to get out of the woman's house to not be beat up by a vacuum anymore.
Mm.
So in her mind, she's not a whore. Why right. would you call me that? I'm not. That's my mom.
Mm.
So when she had a kid, she will not be a whore at all costs because I was accused of that and no one will accuse my daughter of being a whore, so she can't see anything sexual. Mm. And my mom still operates like that to this day, which is why she doesn't like the Descendants, which is why even now, like we would have those Franklin Manor nights and I'm getting ready to go out and I'm like, okay, I'll see you later. And she's like, are you wearing that? It's pretty short. And I'm like, yes, I'm wearing this. I'm 38.
You're like, I'm good. Okay,
so,
I'm good.
But it, like, literally 2 weeks ago, I finally figured out that because she was called a whore and it hurt her so deeply that she wanted to prove to everybody she wasn't, and she's going to prove to the world that her daughter isn't either.
Mm.
And that's why I grew up the way I did.
Holy moly.
How crazy is that?
That's insane.
So have you told your mom that?
No, I'm not sure she's ready for that yet. Yeah. You can't do something before someone's ready. Like, because then my mom will get flustered, and then she'll think I'm attacking her for parenting in a certain way or whatever, and then she's going to think that I'm upset that I couldn't watch sexy shows or something. What, again, remember, I told you I could never watch 90210.
Right.
Whole
you missed
life.
Out on Brendan Dillon.
Missed out on the whole thing because I can't, not going to be a whore.
Now, do you think with that knowledge, do you broach it with your mom ever? Are you ever, like, you obviously don't reveal all of that, but you sort of say, all right, so clearly words have meaning. And your mom saying that to you when you were younger had some effect. What effect do you think it had? And then just sort of let her go down that. Like, she may not reach that
right
conclusion, but then you can sort of offer it up as she's like, well, I don't really know. How would that affect you? And then I'll, but just like bringing up, obviously you're not like, well, because you didn't let me watch 90210.
Right.
But like, how did that have an effect on your thought process and your soul and your spirit? When, I mean, that is so hurtful when you find out that your parent is saying that about you. That,
right,
of course, is going to make anybody feel like crap.
Yes.
Has she ever talked about what, how it made her feel?
No, but I feel like you could tell. And it's, this is what makes it like the ultimate difficult thing to get through, because I feel like I'm still working through stuff with my mom. So like I can't be her therapist.
Right.
Nor should
right. I. No.
But I can try to help. The only thing is though that my mom is so, the couple things, she's so new to this whole psychological world that it's a little overwhelming for her. And also, I just, in my gut, I think something is wrong with her.
Mm.
So when I say that, I don't mean like, you know, I'm not making fun. I'm just putting it as it is, where I think that there are some cognitive or...
Well, she had brain surgery.
She had brain surgery on a giant tumor. And she has been doing remarkably well since then.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same.
Yeah.
It has not been the same since she went back to get the surgery in the hospital that day.
Well, they said that could be an issue, is that there are some personality quirks that could happen once you are dealing with anything with your brain, because it's so intricately wired that any little thing is going to have an effect.
Yeah, I know. And they said that she would probably have some speech issues. I didn't know what that meant at the time, but now I see. And it's speech issues impact your entire life. I was like, she'll be fine. No.
Mm.
I mean, that is still the major issue we deal with, because she can't express how she feels anyway half the time. She can't find the words. Mm. So it's just, there's something wrong. So I don't know how it would go if I try to bring that up. But I will say that the reason I encouraged her to go to therapy, she went twice. And then she's like, I don't think I need any more sessions. I'm good. I'm like,
oh, after two?
I'm like, Mom, you just got to know this person, the therapist. Right. Like, why would you think you're good? She's like, well, I talked about the fact that my mom's upsetting to me. And I was like, no, you got a lot more to dig through. I go, Mom, I was like, remember when you had cancer and you had surgery to remove the cancer and then you had to heal from it? And it was a difficult recovery, weeks of, you know, chemo and radiation. I'm like, think of this the same way. Someone hurt you mentally. You were scarred mentally. And that it was like a thorn in your brain. And instead of taking it out and dealing with it at the time, you have kept pushing it further and further and further into your soul.
Mm.
And guess what? You're 73. That shit wants out.
Yeah.
Your bag of shoving stuff into you, it's full. And she's like, well, I thought I'd... I'm like, no. It's the same with cancer. So you took the cancer out, but you still had to really heal and like go through all this stuff to get rid of it. your traumas that happened to you in the past are the exact same thing, but it's a mental thing. So whatever happened to you, if you never dealt with it, you have to take it out, look at what it did to you, tell yourself that you're going to be okay, and then move on, and then you heal from that trauma, not before. And so she finally got it when I compared it to like a physical thing. If you had a broken leg, I wouldn't be like, oh, that's tough. Hopefully in a week you'll be back at work and ready to run around.
Let's go do a lap.
No, that's why mental health in this country is like a joke, because people don't understand that it connects everything.
That right there should be cut and spliced and played in a television and radio commercial for mental health.
Yeah.
That was the perfect analogy. So if you're listening and you think, wow, these people, they've had some issues, this applies to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody has those thorns.
Yes.
Somebody said something to you. Maybe it wasn't your mom. Maybe it wasn't your dad. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a friend when you were younger. But we all have those moments we can look back to that is that thorn that's just sitting there and that we haven't dealt with.
Yeah.
That is so important.
It's so easy to not deal with it. And it's not talked about in this country. So we just figure, okay, well, it's not happening now, so I must be fine.
Right.
And it's not like anybody is checking on me, so I'm just going to stop talking about it.
Yeah.
So you keep it hidden and keep it hidden, and it's like a festering wound, because now you shove it down,
mm-hmm.
and then something even more traumatic happens. Now you have that on top of the other one, and you're a big freaking mess now. Now you're in real trouble. And hopefully nothing else crazy happens in your life, because this is how people like go shoot up schools. Because for whatever reason, I'm not saying that like every person with trauma shoots up a school, or that every person who shoots up a school is just a traumatized person who never dealt with it. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying this is how it can happen, because the body can only take so much of mental abuse until it manifests in a scary fucking way.
There is a thesis for Holly's new podcast.
Oh.
That's it. It's right there.
Yeah. Well,
I know you've been trying to, like, figure out how you're going to do it.
Yeah,
but
I'm struggling.
There's your thesis right there for your podcast. There's your intention. I think that's going to be so powerful. Because even as you're talking, I'm thinking about the little things in my life that I joke about now.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, oh, here's a funny story from my childhood. But, like, that's something that needs to be dealt with.
Yes, it does, because jokes are one way of showing that, like, you've kind of faced that issue, but it's not healing it so much as it is just looking at it and then putting it back away. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I will say that I had this thought about my podcast, and I just want to slip it in real quick, because I don't think this will be the whole scope of it, but I think I could really find a cool tangent. Good people who have done bad things. Yeah, because I know it's easy in society to just slap a black and white label on someone. Mm-hmm. You robbed a bank, canceled. You're canceled. You, whatever. I don't know. I mean, it could range for anything.
Yeah.
You did this XYZ. Well, you're canceled. But did anybody ask what happened to that person beforehand? And the bigger question is, Is there a redemption story? Because so many people have them, but they've already been canceled and they're not able to share those stories.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just go ahead and be your producer real quick for this new podcast you're doing.
Okay.
If you have a story like that, you're good, but maybe there's something in your past that you never talk about anymore, but you were able to rise from it. You were able to work through it.
That's the key, because you realize that there are people that are too far gone. Maybe
Absolutely.
They're fully in psychosis, and those humans are gone. They're just like, unfortunately, living their life in this shell of a person that's damaged. That's not what I'm looking for, because there's no turnaround. I want there to be hope, because so many people go through the worst shit, can be the most terrible people to other humans. And then it takes something. It's usually rock bottom to bring them out and say, what am I doing? How did I get here? And then they go on to live successful lives. Maybe they have to move. Maybe they had to take some time off. Maybe they had a mental breakdown. I don't know. But if you have a redemption story of your own making like that, where you figured out your shit and you got through the mud to the other point, that's fascinating to me.
So I can already see the logo in my head.
Wow, you're really on it.
We've already gotten to that point. Okay. So let's just, you know, send us a message if this is you, if you identify with this and you want to tell your story. I may have a person for you already, Holly, someone that I was just messaging with, a friend of mine who I didn't know over the past 4 months. They've gone through this, like, breakdown, and they've come back.
Mm.
And I had no fucking clue, and I was like, what?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Most what? People wouldn't know because
no!
it's such hard private work.
Yes.
And the people that go through it figure most people won't get it because, unfortunately, most people won't.
Mm.
They're, it's too easy to just be like, oh, you did a bad thing, bye. We only want good people over here.
Mm.
It's really hard.
Email us. Holly, what's your email?
Holly at hot1015tampabay.com.
Mine is Miguel, M-I-G-U-E-L, at hot1015tampabay.com. And I think, Holly, maybe to just no pressure, you just have a conversation with someone. We'll just, if this is you, you'll record it, just a conversation,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll start crafting a podcast from there for you.
Okay, good, because I need some help.
I got you, honey.
I have a really hard time getting started with this.
I know, girl. That's why I haven't pushed you on it, but I'm glad because I wanted you to arrive there naturally.
Yeah.
And you have. That's
it.
Like, that's the concept.
Well,
that's
I wrote down the good people, bad things, but it can be more than that, but I just...
But that's the perfect intention.
Yeah.
Is that right there. That's perfect. So if that's you, email us. What's your social media, Holly?
Radio Holly on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Scott?
At Scott Tavlin, S-C-O-T-T-T-A-V-L-I-N on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
Miguel Fuller, M-I-G-U-E-L-F-U-L-L-E-R. You can find me on all the social networks, except for Twitch. I don't know what the hell that is.
I don't know what's a Twitch.
Streaming, like, video games.
I don't know.
Like
I feel like
video games?
I don't know.
Like, you could record your,
okay,
like,
hold on.
Screen.
We
got
to go. We have a meeting. Sorry, we got to go. Bye. See you later. See you tomorrow. Bye, 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 bye.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Quarantine Edition, from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.